天上的父，谢谢你才派你独生的爱子成了我们唯一的救赎。
Our Father in heaven, thank you for having sent your precious only Son to us for our redemption.
是的，我们都曾经像羊一样走迷，迷了路，我们需要灵魂的牧者的引导。
We were all sheep wandering away. We needed the guidance of the shepherd.
借着耶稣基督十字架的爱，把我们唤醒，把我们挽回，把我们从这个邪路歪路上带回来，走在那条义路上面。
Through the way of the cross, for our salvation, we restored back onto the road of righteousness.
我们来到你的面前，承认我们的罪孽罪过。
Come and confess our sins before you.
承受你救赎的恩典，赦免的恩典。什么时候我们转向你，向你祷告的时候，你的宝血的功效就会临到我们。
We sing your praises. Whenever we turn back to you, you will, your precious blood will be effective in our restoration.
请你的宝血来洁净每一个从心里面回转归向你的人。
For the cleansing through your precious blood, everyone who turns back in their heart to you.
再一次，今天我们在这个主日的聚会当中，把我们自己这个全人都转回来归向你。
We want to go back and return to you, all of our own soul, on this Sunday in our worship of you.
谢谢你垂听我们同心合意的祷告。
Thank you for hearing our prayers.
奉耶稣基督的名，
Jesus' name.
Amen. 今天是棕榈主日。
This Palm Sunday.
再过一个星期就是复活节。
A week later, we'll have Easter.
棕榈主日就是纪念主耶稣基督最后一次进入圣城圣殿的那一天。
Palm Sunday is in memory of our Lord's.Last entry into the city of Jerusalem.
那我们按照马可福音的顺序哈，我们今天读到这一段呢，正是主耶稣基督受死上十字架之前那个晚上所发生的事情。
And according to what we have in Gospel of Mark, what we're going to talk about today really happened on the night before his crucifixion.
主耶稣基督是星期五被钉十字架的。
Our Lord was crucified on Friday.
星期四的晚上，他跟他的门徒们在一起过逾越节，吃最后的晚餐。
Thursday night, he was with his disciples for the Passover.
那逾越节这个节期，这个节日，是每一年当中犹太人最隆重的、最重大的一个节日。
Passover is the most important.Holiday festival for the Jewish people.
一直到如今也是啊，每年啊，这个星期你会看犹太人，他们就预备自己啊过这个逾越节。那逾越节那一天的晚上的晚餐是很特别的。
It is still so today. You can witness Jewish people getting ready for the Passover.
他们每次都会要宣读出埃及记里面的经文。
Every time at Passover, they will proclaim verses from the book of Exodus.
借着出埃及记里面的记载来纪念当初上帝是如何亲手把他们带出这个埃及，进入到神所应许的地方。
So that they will do this in memory of God's deliverance, literally by their hand, leading them out of the Egyptian bondage.
所以在这里，神就借着摩西应许以色列人，他要救赎他的百姓。
Here we have the promises of God through Moses that He's going to deliver His people.
所以你要对以色列人说：“我是耶和华，我要用伸出来的膀臂重重的刑罚埃及人，救赎你们脱离他们的重担，不做他们的苦工。”
Therefore, say to the Israelites, I'm the Lord, I'll bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, I'll free you from being slaves to them, I'll redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment.
我要以你们为我的百姓，我 我也要做你们的神。你们要知道我是耶和华你们的神，是救你们脱离埃及人之重担的。
I'll take you as my own people and I'll be your God. Then you will know that I'm the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians.
所以在这两节经文当中，我们可以找到这四重对以色列人的应许。
There are four levels of promises as we discovered in these scriptures, God's promises to the Israelites.
应许他们从埃及的重担底下把他们救出来。
His promise to bring the Israelites out from under the burdens of the Egyptians.
应许他们不再做埃及人的奴隶，而成为耶和华的军队。
Promise that they will not remain slaves to the Egyptians, but become mighty armies for the Lord.
而且耶和华神亲自说，他要用他自己的膀臂来救赎他们，彰显他自己的全能。
The Lord our God has said it himself, he's going to redeem the Israelites and put his glory and majesty on display.
而且更进一步的哈，把他们救赎出来呢，要让这一批人成为耶和华的百姓，被他所拣选的子民。
And so that they will be redeemed and become people of God, chosen by the Lord Jehovah.
所以为了纪念主给他们的应许，每一次他们守最后的晚餐的时候呢，他们都在桌子上有四杯的这个葡萄酒或者葡萄汁。
It's representative of symptomatic. Each time with the Passover meal, they would prepare four cups in memory of God's promises to them.
那这个四个杯呢？第一个杯叫做成圣之杯。
And the first cup has the name of the cup of sanctification.
第二个呢，叫做释放之杯，或者叫灾难之杯。
The second cup is the cup of deliverance, or the cup of the plague.
第三个呢，叫救赎之杯。
And the third cup is called cup of redemption.
那最后一杯呢，被称作赞美之杯。
And the last one is the cup of hallel, the cup of praise.
那大家可以看到啊，这里有四杯的葡萄汁摆在这里。
You can see four cups of red juice.
每一次我们基督徒守圣餐的时候呢，只喝一杯。
Each time we have the Lord's communion, we only take one cup.
但是这四杯在逾越节当中，他们所喝的这四杯呢，对我们今天的基督徒都是非常好的提醒。
It's a very important reminder to Christians today.
第一杯被称为成圣之杯。
The first cup is called the cup of sanctification.
所以在这个逾越节的晚餐开始的时候，这家的主人通常是这家的父亲啊，先把第一杯倒满这个葡萄汁或者葡萄酒。
The night of Passover usually is the host of the family who fill up the cup.
向全家人宣告，我们是属于神的百姓。
And he will declare to the whole family that we belong to the Lord.
我们是跟世界上其他的民族都不一样的，我们是被分别为圣的。
We are different from all peoples on earth, and we are set aside.
神特地拣选了我们这个民族，要让人借着我们这个民族知道上帝的名。
The Lord set us aside so that all peoples on earth will know the name of the Lord.
当初在埃及的时候，我们是为奴的，但是在摩西那个时代，神借着他的手带我们出来，使我们成为一个分别为圣、归给神的民族。
We used to be slaves in the land of Egypt, but we were taken out, we were delivered so that we could become people of God.
然后这个父亲呢，就为这第一杯来献上一个感恩的祷告，把这一个晚上分别为圣，专门的来纪念主。
And then the father of the household would follow up with a prayer that his whole household has been set aside and sanctified.
这一杯呢，不是我们基督徒今天喝的那一杯。
This is not a cup we're going to drink today.
但是这个成圣之杯也同样的是对我们今天基督徒的一个很重要的一个提醒。
But this is a very important reminder, this cup of sanctification.
就像当初神 把以色列人分别为圣一样，我们这一群人也是被神呼召出来分别为圣的，为神的名做见证的一群人。
As the Lord called out the people of Israel out of the Egyptian bondage in the past, so he has called us out and sanctified each of us to become people of the Lord.
当这家的主人倒满第二杯的时候，
As the host of the household fills the second cup,
这一杯叫做释放之杯或者是灾难之杯。
This is the cup is called the cup of deliverance or the cup of the plague.
这时候家里的最小的孩子就要问一个问题。
And the smallest, youngest of the household would probably ask a question.
今天这个晚上跟其他所有的晚上有什么不同呢？
What's the difference between this night and all the other nights?
所以这个爸爸为了回答这个孩子的问题，就要开始讲述当初神是怎样带领以色列人出埃及的。
To answer the question of the youngest in the household, the father will retell the story how they were led out of Egypt.
那这一杯呢，实际上不是用来喝的。
This is not a cup for drinking.
人要用这个手指蘸上这个葡萄汁、葡萄酒呢，一滴一滴的点在他面前的这个盘子上面。
What they do is dip the finger in and sprinkle onto the plate in front of them.
当这个爸爸讲述说，当初上帝为了带以色列人出来的时候，降了第一灾。第一灾是什么呢？是尼罗河的水都变成了血。他们就点一滴放在前面。
When the Lord our God began his deliverance of our people out of Egypt, the first thing he did was to change the water of the Nile into blood, drop by drop.
虽然这一灾降下来，法老的心刚硬，他不让以色列人走，所以神就降下第二灾，让那些青蛙从水里上来，遍满了这个埃及全地。
With the first plague, the Pharaoh's heart got hardened. He would not let the people of God go. And then the Lord followed with the second plague, the plague of the frogs.
他们听到这第二灾的讲述的时候，就把第二滴点在他面前的。
Upon hearing of the second plague, they dipped their index finger and get the second drop.
一次两次三次四次五次一直到第十次降第十灾长子被灭的那一灾的时候法老才允许以色列人走出埃及地
One after another third, fourth, fifth until the tenth plague until the killing of the firstborn of the Egyptians then they were the Israelites were let go
所以每一年在以色列人犹太人的每个家庭当中都要重新再讲述一遍神当初降下十灾引导以色列人出埃及的故事。
They repeat this scene as an annual rehearsal as to the deliverance of God of the Israelites.
最后这个爸爸又跟这个孩子讲说为什么今天这个晚上与全年其他的晚上都不同呢？
At last, the father of the household asked the children, his children, what sets aside this night from all of the other nights?
就是因为在第一个逾越节的时候，那一天晚上，我们以色列人呢，每一家都躲在自己的房间里。
It's just because the night of Passover, the original Passover, all people in the Israelites' household were hiding in their houses.
不睡觉的
they did not go to sleep.
穿好衣服
and they were fully clothed,
准备出门
getting ready, to leave.
因为上帝在那一天已经应许他们法老经过最后这第十灾的时候就会让他们走的
Because God had promised them already on this night after the tenth plague, the Pharaoh will let them go.
就是在那一晚上有一个灭命的天使从耶和华那里下来变形埃及全地。
And it is on that night, the angel will come over and start killing land of Egypt.
灭命的天使杀死了所有埃及人家里的头生的儿子和头生的牲畜。
The angel killed off all the firstborn, men and animals included.
但是我们以色列人家中没有一个人死。
But not a single household of the Israelites was affected.
为什么呢？
Why is that?
因为在那一天晚上日落之前，我们杀了一个羔羊，把那个羔羊的血涂在我们家的门楣上了。
Why is that? Because of the slaughter before the night set in of a sacrificial lamb, and the blood of the lamb was smeared on the door frame of each household.
所以当灭命的天使下来看到我们家的门上有羔羊的血的时候呢，他就越过去了。
When the angel came and saw the blood,He will pass over that household with blood smeared on the doorframe.
我们家里的长子的性命就得以存留。
And thereby sparing the life of the firstborn in each household.
每一年，他们都要重新讲述上帝这一个救赎的历史。
Every year they retell the story of God's deliverance of the people.
第二杯用过之后呢？他们就开始吃逾越节的晚餐了。
They started the feast of the second cup.
当逾越节的晚餐吃完之后，饭后要喝第三杯。
After the Passover dinner, they are going to drink the third cup.
这一杯叫做救赎之杯。
This cup is called the cup of redemption.
这一杯就是我们基督徒每一次守圣餐的时候喝的那一杯。
This is the cup that as we come to take part of the communion is the one that we will drink.
因为福音书里面很清楚的记载是饭后耶稣拿起饼来祝谢了拨开就分给门徒说你们去吃因为这是我的身体你们如此行是为了纪念我。
Because the scripture clearly is written that it is after dinner that our Lord took up the cup.
那之后呢？先吃那个饼，然后呢，耶稣再举起杯来说：“这是我立新约的血，你们如此行是为了纪念我。”
Our Lord Jesus broke the bread and then took up the cup and drank it in remembrance of me. That's what he said.
因着耶稣基督在最后的晚餐上饮用这第三杯的酒所立的新约整个改变了这个复活节这个逾越节本来的意义。
Think about reference that Jesus made as to the third cup, the meaning of Passover got changed.
或者说耶稣基督来他成全了完成了逾越节这过去呢一千五百年当中一直在等候的预演的那一个最终的满足成就。
In another word, it is fulfillment of all the prophetic writings up to this point, what the cup and Passover signify.
换句话说，当主耶稣基督设立这个圣餐的时候，他就向人宣告，他就是一千五百年前被杀的那个逾越节的羊羔。
In other words, when our Lord Jesus established the communion, he was literally saying 1500 years ago, what was prophesied was being fulfilled before their eyes.
他的血流出来，他可以涂在相信的人的心门上面，让那个灭命的天使不去灭人的性命，而去越过保存人的性命。
And he was telling us his blood, literally his blood was the blood smeared on the door frame, doorpost, so that the angel will pass over this household.
这是我们每次借着守圣餐要纪念的那个救赎，借着耶稣基督救赎的那个恩典。
This is the his blessing of redemption that we should remember every time.
每次我们领着饼着杯的时候，都会想起是因着耶稣基督的舍命，因着他的宝血的流出，我们今天可以得到拯救，得到永远的生命。
And each time we are reminded that it is our Lord Jesus Christ, our life has been redeemed.
第三杯之后，本该应喝第四杯的。
After the third cup, the fourth cup is due.
而且犹太人在喝第四杯的时候，他们都在一起唱诗歌。
And when the Jewish people taking the fourth cup, they will be singing together.
用诗篇113篇到118篇中的经文唱诗歌来赞美神，表达对上帝救赎的感恩。
Using verses from Psalms 113 through 118 as an expression of their thanks to the Lord.
而且期待着明天再明年再来一次。
And with the expectation of doing all over again next year.
但是耶稣基督在领用了第三杯之后，他讲了一句话。
But our Lord, when he took the third cup, he said this.
记载在马可福音的这个24章22节到26节。他们吃的时候，耶稣又拿起杯来祝谢了，递给他们，他们就喝了。耶稣说：“这是我立约的血，为多人流出来的。我实在告诉你们，我不再喝这葡萄汁，直到我在神的国里喝新的那日。”
Which has been recorded in Mark 14, verses 22 through 25. While they were eating, Jesus took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it.This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. He said to them, Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the wine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God.
所以立新约的杯是第三杯。
The third cup is the cup of the new covenant.
喝完第三杯以后，耶稣说我不再喝了，只等到神的国里面喝新的那日。
After the third cup, Jesus stopped drinking the fourth one. He said, I'll drink it until, drink it anew, until I come into the kingdom of God.
所以这里留下一个悬念，第四杯在哪里？
There's a suspense. Where is the fourth cup?
好像这个最后的晚餐没有完全的结束。
As if the Passover feast is not ending.
这就是为什么今天我们读的这段经文当中，当耶稣基督带着门徒离开这个最后的晚餐，到了克西马尼园，在那里祷告的时候，这一杯又出现。
And that is the reason throughout the night of the Passover, when Jesus left with his disciples for the Garden of Gethsemane, and then the fourth cup appeared.
他祷告的时候，他求父神说：“若是可行，求你将这杯撤去。”
While he prayed, he prayed to the Lord. He said, "Our Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me."
在那个逾越节所预表的整个的救赎的完成当中，有一杯叫做苦杯。
There is one cup out of the symbolism of the four cups at the Passover.One is the cup of is the bitter one,
装满上帝的审判愤怒的一个苦杯。
And that's the bitter cup is the one that contains all of God's wrath.
是一个公义的上帝要审判所有罪人的罪的那一杯所代表的那个刑罚。
This is the cup of judgment by the righteous God.
耶稣基督很清楚，这一杯就是他要最后在十字架上要喝的那一杯。
And Jesus was very clear about this. This is the cup he was going to drink on the cross.
这是为什么在门徒在求在神的国度当中，一个坐左边，一个坐右边的时候，耶稣曾经提到这一杯，就问他们说：“你们不知道你们求的是什么？我所喝的杯，你们能喝吗？我所受的洗，你们能受吗？”他们说我们能，耶稣说我所喝的杯你们也要喝，我所受的洗你们也要受。
And This is what Jesus said when he was asked by two of his disciples who wanted to sit one on his right and one on his left when Jesus, the Lord, came into glory. And he said, "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with?"
主耶稣基督很清楚，在逾越节所预表的那个救赎的过程当中，这一步是躲不过的。虽然门徒不明白，但他自己很清楚，要有一位被杀的羔羊，要亲自去尝、去喝那个代表愤怒审判的上帝的那个苦杯。
Jesus, our Lord, was very clear about this, even though without knowledge of his disciples, and he was the one who had to drink of this bitter cup of God's judgment and God's wrath.
最后的结果是怎样？在十字架上这件事情是怎么发生的呢？这事以后，耶稣知道各样事已经成了，为要使经上的话应验，就说：“我渴了。”有一个器皿盛满了醋放在那里。他们就拿海蓉蘸满了醋绑在牛膝草上送到他口，耶稣尝了那醋就说成了，便低下头将灵魂交付神。
How did this the fourth cup what stands for get fulfilled? And this we have here later knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled. Jesus said, "I'm thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked the sponge in it, put the sponge on the stalk of a hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
主耶稣基督在十字架那个宣告成了是很有名的。
This is Jesus' famous proclamation. It is finished.
他在那里宣告神的救赎大功完成了。
Meaning that the work of redemption by the Lord has been completed.
人与神之间本来不通的那条路，现在有一条桥，有一条路可以通了。
What had separated man and God has now been opened up.
圣所至圣所之间本来有那个幔隔开的，人不能直接到那个至圣所见神的，但如今那个幔子被裂开了，人可以直接借着耶稣基督来到父神的面前。
That is the curtain that used to separate the most holy from the holy now has been opened up. What separated man from God now has been opened up.
那神特别借着约翰福音把这个细节记在这里，在耶稣基督宣告成了之前。那最后一杯苦杯耶稣尝了。
There is a bit of detail recorded in the book of John after he tasted the cup and he said it is finished.
这个苦杯代表全世界所有人的罪落在耶稣基督的身上，他替我们的罪承担了那个罪的刑罚。
It is rather the bitter cup stands for all the sins and transgressions of all mankind that Jesus took over.
有一首诗歌，不知道大家有没有听过或者唱过。
I wonder if there's a hymn, whether you're familiar with this or not.
这首诗歌就叫《咒诅他受，祝福我享》。
It is called the curse he took. But the blessings I enjoy.
苦杯他尝，爱宴我享。
He took the bitter cup, but I enjoy the love feast.
唱的就是主耶稣基督在十字架上为你我的罪钉死在十字架上，尝了那个罪的代价之后，让我们今天可以有这样的福分，可以借着相信耶稣基督领受上帝的祝福和永生。
That means he tasted a bitter cup for all of us sinners, and we were redeemed, and we now can enjoy the blessings of God.
这样的救赎是值得我们一生一世永远的去感谢，永远去传扬的。
And it is the redemption that deserves praise, and we need to be thankful for that all our lives.
那整个在
来最后晚餐在克西马尼园，耶稣后来被抓被审被钉十字架的这个过程当中，我们看见主耶稣基督从始到至终对上帝的那个忠心。
We can take a look at this series of pictures of scenes from the scene of the last supper, the Passover supper, onto his Jesus being arrested, tried, and crucified.
他因着对神的完全的信靠，他能够谦卑至死，且死在十字架上。
And he set up a good example of faithfulness.To the Lord, to the very last.
但相比之下，门徒的软弱、跌倒、离弃、否认，都被彰显得一览无遗。
In stark contrast, however, to Jesus' faithfulness to our Lord, we have the weaknesses on display of his disciples.
而且福音书的作者有意的把这种强烈的对比呈现在我们的面前，借着这段的记载。
Gospel writers particularly put this in open display, as we call it in scripture.
我们就要问说，我们读了这一段，看到这些事情的发生，看到耶稣的忠心，看到门徒的跌倒，那在这一段当中，我们要学习什么样的功课？
And we are prompted to think over this question.This contrast. What is the lesson we have to learn while Jesus remaining faithful to his Father at the same time his disciples are falling away and fleeing?
首先，我们从耶稣基督的身上来学习一个忠心向父神忠心的一个榜样，具有什么样的特点？
We have the fine example of being faithful to God, and this is in our Lord Jesus. So, what are the important points here?
首先，最集中的表现就是他在克西马尼园里的这个祷告。
From his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane.
通过他的祷告当中，我们清楚的看到，之所以耶稣基督能够忠心以至于死，是因为他对父神的全然的信靠。
The focus is on Jesus' entire trust in his Father, our God.
他对父神的那个主权在掌管一切，不管发生什么样的事情都不会逃出他的掌管的范围，这种的信念是非常的坚定。
He is very steadfast in the sovereignty of God his Father. He never wavered.
你看他的祷告的称谓，他说阿爸父啊，在你凡事都能。
Just look at this, how he addressed his Father.He said, Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you.
这是他的第一个祷告，开口的时候先宣告对上帝的那个主权，对上帝的那个掌管，对上帝的那个能力的无限全能的信靠。
And this is how he began his prayer. It's a good example of his total trust in God's sovereignty, his faith in his redemption.
他用阿爸父啊来称呼这个父神啊，这个阿爸是那个小孩子第一次说话喊爸爸妈妈的时候那个口语，就阿爸。
He called God his father, Abba, father, just like a little baby calling his or her father, the way babies would do.
他那个时候的祷告就像一个小孩子一样，就像一个无依无靠的孩子全心的投靠那个父亲一样的一个口吻，一个心态，来到父神的面前来祷告。
It feels very much like this as Jesus came before our Heavenly Father, that he would totally rely on the power of his Father.
面对十字架所带来的那些的苦难，面临着这些的鞭打、逼迫，肉体上、心灵上、灵魂当中的各样的这种苦难，他无依无靠的来到父神的面前。父啊，我全然的来投靠。
In face of the impending afflictions and sufferings on the cross, and he is saying, "Oh Father, I come to you. I rely, I trust in your power."
他第二个求是说，求你将这杯撤去。
And his second request is that take this cup from me.
我们前面看到了，他一进入到克西马尼园的时候，这里就描写他惊恐起来，心里特别的痛苦，心里他自己想说，我心里痛苦几乎要死。
And we read about in the scriptures before this, as he was entering into the Garden of Gethsemane, he was greatly troubled, deeply distressed.
其他的福音书里描写他在那里祷告的时候，那个汗滴流下来，就像那个大雪点一样滴在地上。
It is recorded in other gospel books that he sweat a big large drops of blood.
当这个苦杯要临到他真的要喝这个苦杯的时候，那个痛苦是真实的。
When the bitter cup was there that he had to drink it, and the suffering was real.
被鞭打，被带那个荆棘的冠冕刺痛他的这个身体，那种痛苦是真实的。
Lashings and sufferings he endured were real.
他的两手两脚被钉在十字架上，穿过这个神经最密集的地方，而且挂在那里之后，他窒息而死的那个痛苦是真实的。
And the pains he would feel with nails going through where all the nerves were concentrated in his wrists and both of his legs.Those pains were real.
被最亲爱的人，被他所要救赎的人出卖、否认，这种的痛苦，心灵的痛苦是真实的。
And the afflictions and sorrows that he must have felt by the betrayal of his disciples, his friends, that's real.
而且最大的痛苦是表现在他在十字架，因为罪在他的身上，父神转脸不看他。那个永远没有分离的跟父神的那个关系在十字架上被切断的时候，那种的痛苦是真实的。
And think about the realness, the reality of his total separation from his father God as he stood on the cross, the total separation that he became sin while he did not know sin, that he suffered and endured and sustained the spirit of total separation from his father.
周围的人，这些人都没有意识到什么样的事情要发生的时候，耶稣基督是清清楚楚知道，再过几个小时，他就要面临，就要忍受这一切的痛苦的时候，他说：“父啊，求你将这杯撤去。”
And all the people, none of them around him knew what was going to happen in the next couple of hours. During that time, our Lord was going to endure and will be going through.This affliction, this terrible separation. And that's why he said, take this cup from me.
耶稣基督作为一个人，他有一种身体当中一种本能的逃离这种痛苦，离开这种苦难的那种的感受是真实的。
As a 100% man, his fear of shying away from the impending danger was really, really realistic.
然而他的祷告还有第三个，他没有停留在求神撤去这杯这里。然而，不要从我的意思，只要从你的意思。
However, he did not stay with his second prayer. He went on his prayers with his father. He said, "Abba, Father, he said everything. Yet not what I will, but what you will."
耶稣基督对父神的完全的信任，这是第一点我要学习。
Our Lord Jesus Christ is total trust in God the Father.
第二，耶稣基督在父神的面前很坦白的把人身体中的那种的感受感觉也讲出来。
And secondly, this is we have learned from this, he totally unburdened himself as a man before God.
但是他没有。跟着他身体的感觉、内心的感受去走，而是选择顺从上帝的安排，顺从天父的旨意，求神的旨意成就。这是我们要学习。
However, he did not follow the keys. He did not follow the leanings of the body of the man. Rather, he chose to follow the will of God.
我想最能够体会耶稣基督这段祷告的 跟这个祷告最接近的一个人应该就是亚伯拉罕。
Who you think will come closest to this type of prayer? And I can think of only Abraham.
在耶稣基督做这个祷告之前两千年，亚伯拉罕当神让他献以撒的时候，他那个经历应该是最接近当时耶稣基督的这里的经历。
I believe Abraham came the closest 2,000 years ago from this point when he was requested to sacrifice his son Isaac.
当他很清清楚楚地听到耶和华神对他讲说，把你的儿子，独生的儿子，就是你所爱的以撒，带到摩利亚山上献上为祭的时候，亚伯拉罕心里的心情是最接近主耶稣基督在克西马尼园里的心情。
It's very emblematic of what was going on in the Garden of Gethsemane when Abraham was told that this is from God saying that sacrifice your son, your only son, the son you love, Moriah. And how Abraham would have felt that comes closest to what we have in Jesus Christ.
亚伯拉罕听到这个命令，第二天清早就起来，就预备一切，照着神的吩咐去行了。
Later, Abraham, upon hearing the command of the Lord, next day he departed.
就像主耶稣基督走向耶路撒冷的时候，一路上他知道在耶路撒冷等到的他是什么，但是他的方向没有改变哦，一直向着耶路撒冷去行。
As if our Lord Jesus Christ was doing the same thing, he was headed for Jerusalem. He never wavered, he never changed, he headed toward the city of Jerusalem.
作为一个父亲，把神所应许的唯一的儿子要送到祭坛上，献为燔祭，杀死烧掉，献给神的话，他心里会没有挣扎吗？
Think about it, if he was requested to sacrifice his only son, a different God, sacrifice him, God's altar, do you think he has no struggle at all?
走了三天呢，走到献祭的那个山摩利亚山上，那一路上走，他的方向没有改变，他心里会不会不断的在祈求说，父啊，若是可行，把这杯挪去。
Think of the three-day journey, and day by day, each hour, as Abraham was traveling toward the destination, he must have struggled and asked and prayed of God, take this cup away from me.
如果有其他的办法，有其他的代替的献祭的物，求你不要把这个唯一的你所应许的，要借着他生出这个天上的星、海边的沙一样的子孙的这个以撒献到为祭呢？
Is there another way? He must have asked many a time. Is there another way, another substitutionary sacrifice? Can you think of something else rather than this one, Isaac, out of whom will come children and descendants as numerous as the stars in the skies and sand on the seashore?
但是大家注意，亚伯拉罕在没有听到神声音的时候，在没有听到神再一次讲话的时候，他的脚就是一直的往摩利亚山上走。
Think about it. While he was going through that experience, he did not hear anything from the Lord. However, his steadfast gaze, he walked straight without wavering toward his destination.
当神不讲话的时候，他就上了山，建起祭坛，摆上这个烧祭物的柴。把儿子捆绑放在上面，刀都举起来。
Well, God was silent throughout this journey. He went up Mount Moriah, set up the pile of wood, tied his son over it, and he was about, he took up his knife and about to slaughter the sacrifice.
直到最后一刻，耶和华亲自出手说，你不要这个伤害这个童子，我已经有一个替代的羔羊来代替他献祭。
Until the very last moment when God halted the whole process and said, "Do not harm the boy. I have prepared a sacrifice for you."
然而，当上帝的儿子耶稣基督 被在十字架上献为赎罪的羔羊的时候，即使到最后一刻，神也没有出手阻止这件事情。
But no, this scene, throughout the process until the last moment, God the Father, did not change the course of what He decided.
所以，当耶稣基督在克西马尼园三次这样祷告的时候，没有听到神的回应去改变这个计划的时候，他就知道这是唯一的能够解决人类救赎的唯一的道路。
So after Jesus prayed his three prayers, which is talked about, during the whole time God remained silent. And then our Lord Jesus knew that this is the will of the Father.
但至少在地上有一个人就是亚伯拉罕，他能够多多少少体会到上帝让他的唯一的儿子为世人的罪钉死在十字架上的时候，那个作为父亲的那样一个心情。
And that is the reason why I'm reminded of the person of Abraham, who would be the one coming closest in resemblance to the experience our Lord had gone through in the Garden of Gethsemane.
主耶稣基督对神的旨意的全然的顺服，这是我们要学习的。
So this is our Lord's example of being faithful to our God and Father. This is something that we learn.
耶稣基督是借着祷告得到这个能力，预备好分辨清楚上帝最终的旨意之后，他就有能力去面对十字架所带来的一切的苦难，这是我们要学习。
And we have learned that he became empowered only through prayers, and through prayers he discerned the will of God, and then he endured the rest, and this is what we have to learn.
相比之下，门徒正好是这个的反面，他们相信的不是上帝的主权、上帝的全能，他们却充满自信。
In stark contrast, let's look at his disciples. They were full of themselves, trusting themselves, not like our Lord.
这是在最后晚餐上，耶稣说：“你们当中有一个要出卖我的时候，他们的反应。
This is how they reacted.At the last supper, when our Lord said, one of you is going to betray me in the hands of
him. 他们就忧愁起来，一个一个的问他说，是我吗？
They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, surely not I.
这个中文翻译过来有点抓不准，他们当时讲话的口气是什么？原来他们的口气是充满自信的问耶稣说，不是我吧？不会是我吧？不可能是我吧？我是不会出卖你的，是这个意思。
Oh, the poignancy of the original words got lost in the Chinese translation. And rather, it is this situation that everybody was asking in way of affirming they are not going to betray him. Rather, they were saying, I would not betray you.
对啊，就是后来这个彼得讲的嘛。众人虽然跌倒，我总不跌倒，总不能。彼得却极力说：“哈，我就是必须和你同死，也总不能不认你。”而且不是他一个人哦，众门徒都是这样说。
And the proof is in what Peter said later. Peter declared, "Even if all fall away, I will not." But Peter insisted emphatically, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the others said the same.
不像主耶稣基督一样，像一个小孩子一样，全然的投靠父神的能力、父神的掌权，他们却觉得自己差不多了，我自己有这个能力了，我不需要别人的帮助，我自己有这个把握，我可以做到。
And this is certainly not a picture of a little baby crying out to his father for protection and guidance. This is a man trusting in their overly self-confident personality.
进行祷告的时候，耶稣在祷告的时候，他们在睡觉。
While our Lord was in earnest prayers, they were asleep.
三次啊，耶稣回来见他们睡着了。第二次又来见他们睡着了，因为他们的眼睛甚是困倦。第三次来，仍然睡觉安息。
Once, twice, and for the third time.Every time when the Lord came back seeking them, they were asleep. Their eyes were heavy.
三次的睡觉预 预示着后面彼得要三次否认主的名。
You can see from three times he fell asleep. That's a mighty reference to the three times Peter disowned the Lord.
这整个这一段啊，这个耶稣和门徒这种的对比就非常的清楚。
If we do a little comparison between our Lord Jesus and his disciples, the picture becomes crystal clear.
主耶稣在警醒祷告，门徒在睡觉。
The Lord is watching and praying while his disciples are sleeping.
主耶稣全然的依靠父神，但是门徒呢，却是对自己的身肉体却充满自信。
Our Lord relies on his Father, but his disciples.Trust in your flesh.
结果什么呢？结果主耶稣基督可以坚持到底，为了成就神的旨意，直到死在十字架上。
Jesus, what happened? He wanted to fulfill God's plan of redemption.
但是门徒也是，所有的门徒都跑了。
But all of his disciples fled.
主耶稣基督是向父神忠心到底的榜样，门徒是缺少对神的忠心。软弱跌倒的一个反面的见解。
And the Lord Jesus remained faithful to the very bitter end, whereas his disciples were just the opposite. They're total lack of faith.
圣经这样讲，不是让我们读到这段圣经的人去笑话门徒，笑话彼得说：“你看看这些人多软弱。”
The scripture is written not so that we will say pointing fingers at people like Peter and all, see how weak they are.
应该是问我们自己，就是说，如果假设我们当时在场的话，我们做的会比彼得好，会比其他的门徒更强吗？
The question should have been directed to us, to ourselves. If we were there on that night, were we going to be any better than Peter and the rest?
主对门徒讲说，你们心里愿意，但是肉体却软弱了。
Jesus said to his disciples, "Your heart is willing, but your body is weak."
难道这句话不也是常常主讲给我们听的吗？
Isn't that applicable to all of us? Very often.
门徒知道他们应该警醒，眼睛打开，在那里。陪着耶稣一起来祷告的，但是他们眼睛疲倦，实在是打不开，就睡着了。
His disciples certainly knew they should keep watch over the Lord while the Lord was praying, but they just couldn't help it.
今天不也常常有这种情况？明知道应该起来，应该祷告，应该读圣经，但是常常做不到。
Isn't that the one that sets us apart the same way? That we are just like that, are not able to watch and pray.
明明知道我们应该做的事情，但是因为肉体的软弱，没有那个力量，你就做不出来。
Despite the clear mandate, we need to remain watchful and prayerful, but we are weak. We just cannot do it.
明知这个不该吃了，控制体重啊，这个但是看到还会馋。
It's just like we know we are already overweight.But we see it, we still want to eat it.
明知道现在该运动了，但是就是爬不起来，还是懒在床上。
Knowing that it's about time to get up and do some exercise, but we are not able to get up.
明知道这个 click 这个网站不能去，不能碰的，但偏偏要去看一个究竟。
And knowing clearly that it's just a click away, you can stop it, but we just cannot resist the temptation of clicking and getting carried away online.
这样的记载是像一面镜子放在你我的面前，要让我们意识到我们不比这些门徒更强。
It's like a mirror, a place right in front of our eyes, so that we know that we're no better than those big disciples.
所以我们把这个整个放到这一段的大的上下文里面，我们想从一开始在第十三章结尾的时候，主耶稣基督讲到他会再来的时候，他就提醒我们要警醒，要警醒，要谨慎。
Let's cast this scene in a larger context. When he was about to come again, he was teaching his disciples to remain watchful and be alert.
马可福音里面特别提到，记载耶稣基督讲到，或晚上，或半夜，或鸡叫，或早晨，啊，都要警醒，不要这个睡着。
In particular, in Mark 13, Jesus reminded us of his disciples. He said, whether you know at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn, you got to be watchful and do the prayers.
然后接下来发生的事情就是按照这个顺序，晚上发生什么事情？耶稣基督跟门徒在守最后的晚餐，逾越节的晚餐。半夜在做什么？主耶稣基督半夜在客西马利祷告。鸡叫的时候做什么？耶稣基督鸡叫的时候被审。早晨，耶稣做了什么？耶稣被钉上了十字架。
Look at this prophetic sequencing of sorts. So we have is chapter 13, really got transpired in chapter 14. And we have in the evening when they were at the Passover supper, and then followed at midnight the struggling in the Garden of Gethsemane. And when the rooster crows, that's when Jesus, having been arrested, was faced with a trial. Lastly, at dawn in the morning, he was nailed to the cross.
在最后晚餐上，耶稣知道要发生的事情，所以切切地嘱咐这些门徒要依靠他，来靠着他来胜过这些的试探。
The Last Supper, our Lord, knowing what was going to happen to him, taught his disciples, warned them.
也知道他们会软弱，会跌倒，所以特地设立了饼杯，最后这个圣餐，让门徒常常的纪念他。从他的生命当中支取那个能力。
And knowing of the necessity that his disciples were going to be weak, and that's why he established this communion table, so that his disciples, his believers, will keep him in remembrance.
但是门徒一开始在那里争谁为大，然后呢，耶稣讲的话他们就不清楚，迷迷糊糊的听不明白。
But at the time, what were his disciples were doing? They were arguing who would be the greatest. So they missed out the important teachings of Jesus before the cross.
当半夜主耶稣基督在那里警醒祷告，迫切祷告三次的恳切的祷告的时候，支取那个面对十字架的能力的时候，门徒却不能够警醒。
When our Lord at midnight, hard wrestling. In prayers with God, his disciples were not able to remain watchful, not even awake.
当鸡叫的时候，主耶稣基督被抓被审罪，受到这个折磨的时候，彼得却在边上三次的否认他认识这位要救他的主。
At the climax of his arrest and his arrest and in interrogation, look at Peter. He was disowning our Lord three times.
清晨来到主耶稣基督九点钟被钉到十字架上，背着自己的十字架上哥哥他。
When morning came, he took up his cross and walked toward Calvary, and he was crucified at the hour of 9 in the morning.
门徒们都跑散。
All of his disciples fled.
所以一再的把这种的强烈的对比摆在我们的面前，就是让我们学习今天我们应该怎样的不要再犯门徒的错误，能够效法耶稣基督的榜样，忠心向神呢。
This sharp contrast is very placed in front of eyes so that we will remain faithful like our Lord and do notimitate his disciples in their weakness.
耶稣完全相信父神的主权，并且借着祷告，依靠圣灵的能力，而不是自己的肉体，来成就父神的旨意。
Look at our Lord, his total trust in the sovereignty of God, his Father, and he did it by prayers, relying on the power of the Holy Spirit, and not in his own flesh to accomplish God's will.
这里有三个很重要的要素。
Three important elements in this.
基础根基是你相信上帝的主权。
foundation of all of this is simply total trust in the sovereignty of God.
能力忠心，能够向主忠心，那个能力不是靠自己啊，是从圣灵加给我们。
Where did your power come from? It's not from yourself, but from being empowered through the Holy Spirit.
怎么支取这个能力？就是借着祷告。
How do you draw the power? This is when you have to pray.
Yeah, 我想这些的道理都不难明白。
I trust and truth of these passages are not hard to understand.
我们怎么能够让我们的祷告的生活被更新？真的是借着持续的祷告、恳切的祷告。来支取上帝的能力，使我们能够活出神的心意呢？
How do we experience the sort of the revival of our prayer life? How do we come to draw on the power of God?
而且看到神在这个时代啊，这个时期，在我们的教会当中，在华人的教会当中，在美国的教会当中，兴起一个很重要的工作，就是祷告敬拜。
As we stand, we are right now witnessing the work of the Holy Spirit among Chinese speaking churches here in America and in the world.
最近几年啊，在台湾兴起了两样的事工，给华人教会以及全球的教会带来很大的祝福。
Two ministries. Came onto the scene originating from Taiwan as a huge blessing to all of us.
一个就是传福音的幸福小组。
One is the Gospel Ministry of Happiness Group.
从台湾的高雄那地方一个教会开始的。
It originated with a church in 高雄, Taiwan.
借着他们的服事的这种的方式。祝福了许许多多的教会，包括我们自己的教会。
Their ministry has proven to be a blessing to a lot of people, including our church.
过去三年当中，我们持续的借着这种小组的方式，在网络上为主来做见证。
For the past 3 years, we've been doing this in small group settings, and we continue to witness to God's glory.
带领一个一个的人归向耶稣基督。
And we've been leading people one by one back to the Lord.
现在还在进行当中。
It's an ongoing process.
这几周每一周都听到同工报告，在各个小组当中都不断的有人来回转认罪悔改归向耶稣。
We've been receiving reports from various groups, happiness groups, that there are people whose lives have changed, who are confessing the Lord.
我们为台湾的高雄教会的这种服事来感恩。
We give thanks to the Lord for the ministry started in the church in 高雄。
第二个是关于祷告。
The second ministry is about prayers.
应该就是这几年当中，神在台湾的教会当中特地兴起了一个叫 RPG 的祷告小组的服事。
This is a special blessing from the Lord in the past couple of years. This is called RPG, prayer group.
什么叫 RPG 呢？ Revival Prayer Group.
What does it stand for? Revival Prayer Group.
复兴祷告小组。
Revival, prayer revival.
多少人听过 RPG 的？请举一下手。
Those who have heard this, raise
your hand. 几个。
Praise the Lord, quite a few.
三四个人聚在一起，定期的、经常，有的人是每天他们都在一起，有的可能是一个星期几次，有的是一个星期一次啊。这个频率跟各个小组不一样。固定的，这三四个人在一起持续的祷告。
It's better to have three or four and smaller groups in that setting, maybe once a week or a couple of times a week or every day, and get together and pray. And that's the setting.
每次祷告时间不用太长。
You don't have to spend drag it up for too long.
但这三四个人呢，都参与在祷告当中。
But all those three or four would actively participate in the prayers.
根据这个主导文的教导，我们先向上敬拜感恩。
And according to our Lord's prayer, we do not first give thanks to the Lord.
向为彼此的代求。
And intercede as to each other.
向外为那些还没有得救的朋友们代求。
And go on.
来改变他们的生命。
And intercede and pray even for people outside our little circle of believers, for those who are yet to be saved.
每次不用长十五分钟，半个小时，祷告，然后下次再来。
Doesn't have to be long. Every time we get together, it could be half an hour, even as short as 15 minutes, we can pray.
借着这样的 RPG 祷告小组的服事，很多的神的作为被带出来。
You can be assured of the work of the Lord coming out of prayer groups like RPG.
最近一段时间，我也跟一些的同工尝试着三个人、两个人、四个人聚在一起，现在太方便了上网约个时间就可以一起祷告。
Just started doing this with a few coworkers. It's very easy now. We can just log on and see each other online for the prayers.
警醒祷告，免得入了迷惑。
Watch so that you do not fall into temptation.
接下来我们唱这首回应的诗歌是彼得前书里的经文。
What we're going to sing in response is based on 1 Peter.
万物的结局近了，所以要谨慎、警醒、持续的祷告。
The end of all things is near, and that's why we have to remain watchful and pray.
这个经文是彼得写下来的，这很有意义
This is the prayer written down by Peter. Isn't that significant?
就是那一个在克西达玛尼园里面没有警醒、没有祷告、睡着了的那个彼得写出来的。
It's the same person, same Peter, who in the Garden of Gethsemane did not watch, did not pray, he went to sleep.
他曾经跌倒，曾经软弱过，但是主耶稣基督没有放弃他，又把他挽回，坚定他的信心之后，到了他的晚年呢，写出这句话。
He fell and betrayed the Lord, his own Lord. He gave up the Lord did not give up on him. So our Lord Jesus fully restored him in his old age. He wrote down this section of the scripture.
在他服事的晚期，他要临世的时候，切切的嘱咐教会说：“你们要谨慎自守，警醒祷告。”
And he earnestly, before his departure from this world, he was telling the church, be self-controlled, remain watchful in your prayers.
让我们一起接着这首诗歌来回应主对我们的召
唤。Let's start with our Lord's calling with this song.